9. We'll be reading from verses 35 through 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, the laborers, are few. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." May God richly add his blessing upon the reading and the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would work in our lives and our hearts, Lord, that we would hear your word, Lord, and that we would not just hear empty words, that we would hear your inspired and infallible word that can change our lives and can change us into the image and likeness of Christ. So be with us now, Father, and help us, Father, to listen and apply your word to our lives, and help us to be changed as we hear your word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I was accepted as a Navy chaplain, I never imagined how challenging and exciting and rewarding this ministry would be, for how the Lord would use me in his service. During my 20 years as a chaplain, the Lord gave me many opportunities to share the gospel. I was amazed how great the opportunities were when a sailor or a Marine would come and talk to me about whatever they were having, but I always tried to be Christ-centered in my counseling. During my very first tour as a chaplain, I was sent after chaplain school to the Marines in Jacksonville, North Carolina. As you know, Navy chaplains serve under the Marines, the Coast Guard, and also the Navy. So I was surprised when I got to chaplain school and they put the list up. We had no choice. And they just said, "You're going to Jacksonville, North Carolina, and you'll be with the Marines, the aviation side, at New River." So one day, I was thinking of many opportunities of how I could preach the gospel to these Marines. I had 12 different, eight mini squadrons, and then there was a support squadron. And so I would have services. I would go to the commanding officers, and I would ask them if I could come in and just do a service during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. And so, for example, I would do about 10 to 12 services a week, lasting only about 15 minutes. Didn't break. I went into the workspaces and their hangars, and during that time, I would just present the gospel about Christmas or Easter, even Thanksgiving. I gave a thing about being thankful. One day during the time I was giving Easter services, I got a call from a sergeant major, and he asked me, he said, "Listen, I don't really want you to come in the morning. I usually did the services in the morning. I want you to come at 1600 or 4 p.m. 1600 or 4 p.m. I didn't know the reason, but I did it anyway, thinking at least the sergeant major wanted me to come and do a service. So when I arrived, I was surprised. God surprises us all the time when we open up our hearts to present the gospel to people. There were 400 Marines all sandwiched into the work area. In order for them to see me, the sergeant major said, "Get up on the desk, chaplain." "Okay, yes, sergeant major says something to you. You do whatever he tells you." So there I was. I was climbing up on the desk with my Bible in my hand, preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ to about 400 Marines. The reason I was asked to change, he said change the time from in the morning to 4 o'clock in the shift, was because there were different shifts, and he wanted me to talk to both the morning and the evening shift. That's why he wanted me to come later. And so as I continued in my career, the Lord continued to open many opportunities for me to preach the gospel. While I was the command chaplain on the USS Yosemite, I designed a new cruise lounge for the junior enlisted sailors. And this opened up many opportunities for me to present the gospel to these sailors because they showed I was really interested in them. The place that they had to go to lounge on the ship was very dingy. I made it really nice. Got games, I got TVs, and they saw that, and they really opened up the doors. I would not get to know some of these sailors without doing stuff like that. Because if you don't realize, the sailors are not going to come running to the chaplain unless they have a problem. And God opened up the doors for me. You know, it's just amazing how opportunities come to you when you ask God to use you in evangelism and present the gospel. At the end of my career, I was aboard the USS Enterprise, and we were beginning a six-month deployment. And we faced a terrible accident where we lost four pilots from one squadron. The aircraft was going to land on the flight deck, and it hit another jet. And it crashed into the water, and we lost those four pilots, and we lost two pilots. We didn't lose two of them, but they went off. They were injured. And I spent countless hours with the squadrons as two pilots were injured and four pilots died. God gave me tremendous opportunities to preach Christ as I tried my best to comfort the sailors and Marines. One of those who died, they were going off to fly. You know, when you fly off a carrier, it's a very dangerous thing. And the landing support officers have to wave them off if they're not ready. When they come in really quick onto the deck. And there's hooks. You might have heard a tail hook. They cut the hook, and they usually hook about the third line would be the one they would hook. But, you know, one of the sailors, his name was Chuck, and one of the last things he said to me is, "I'll see you at the Officer Christian Bible Study." So I knew he was a Christian. But it was amazing. Over 2,000 sailors and Marines attended, at least 2,000, the memorial service, and there I was able to preach the gospel to over 2,000 Marines and sailors aboard the USS Enterprise because of this terrible accident. You see, my Christian friends, you have to be willing to be used by God, asking Him for opportunities to present Christ, preach Christ, and He's going to answer your prayers. My prayer for you is as you go out, and whatever you're doing, if you go out and about, you would have many opportunities to see God use you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God will give you those opportunities if you're willing to be used by Him. For you see, God has saved us so that we may serve Him to become His witnesses here on earth. He commanded us in the Great Commission, right after His resurrection, Jesus did, before His ascension, to go out and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. This was on the mind and heart of Jesus Christ. And this was so important to Him for our Savior to do this before He ascended into heaven. So the question I have for all of us is, I say it to myself too, how are we doing? How are we doing? Have we followed our Savior and bringing the lost to Him? Where has the Church of Jesus Christ been in evangelizing the world? Can we do more? I think we can. Our Savior, the captain of our salvation, and the head of the church in our text in Matthew 9, 35-38, leads the way once again as He gives us a model of how to evangelize the world. Remember, we can do all things in Christ's strength, Philippians 4:13. So let us be challenged this morning as we examine and apply God's inspired word to our lives. Let us boldly go forth into the world from this place in the power of God by the Holy Spirit to see our neighbors, our co-workers, and even those in our families come to a saving faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us ask God every day for opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ. It will amaze you as you witness by your life and with your lips to see people saved by the Holy Spirit as He convicts them and brings those lost souls to Christ. Let us look at Christ's example in our text. So first of all, we see in verse 35 of chapter 9 in Matthew that Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Note how Jesus leads us, his church, by example. He went out to all the cities and villages. We need to get into our communities as well. Jesus didn't sit back on who he was. He didn't set up a shop at a certain location, but he went out and about. If anyone could have sat back and set up a headquarters by putting out a sign, free healing and teaching by the Messiah, Jesus could have done it. But notice, Jesus, we read in our text, went out and about in all the cities and all the villages. The Pharisees criticized Jesus, the Son of God, for eating and drinking with sinners. But Jesus knew that in order for people to believe in him, he had to go where they were and be with them. His enemies called him a friend of sinners, even associating freely with sinners. But Jesus went to where the people were and did not wait for them to come to him. He went to all the cities, but he did not ignore the little villages in the countryside. He went anywhere and was out and about. He was on the move, very aggressive. He didn't wait for people to come to him. As we see in Matthew 4, 23 through 25, for he went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And many people heard about him and brought their sick to him so that he could heal them. Sometimes, my Christian friends, we need to go to some very dark places and corners in the world and preach the gospel to those who would not freely associate with them, like the homeless, the poor, and even those people who would never come into a church. Jesus was not afraid to be associated with the lepers, the blind, and the poor, and neither should we. Our church is an example of reaching out through different things like the Samaritan Purse, all the boxes that we gave, and Love Inc., and Esther House, and all the ministries. We reach out to people that normally wouldn't come to a church, but they experience the love of Christ by the way we live and the way we go out into the world in that way. Notice Jesus didn't just go into the cities and villages preaching the good news, but he went into the synagogues to preach and teach his message that the Messiah is here to the Jews. Once, when Jesus returned to Galilee, he stood up in a synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61 about himself. And this is what he read about himself. It's from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Notice what Jesus said. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And people, we read in the passage, were amazed as they heard him in the synagogue, that every day and every time he went out in the synagogue, that was in Luke 4. You know, we need to be boldly preaching the gospel, even in the face of persecution. Gilbert was going to go through the book of Acts, and you're going to see that. That there's going to be persecution, and the disciples, the apostles, continue to preach the gospel, in spite that they might lose their lives. You know, you can witness anywhere you happen to be. Once I was stuck in a long line at a store, and I could have been impatient, which I usually am, or looking to get into a shorter line, but I happened to strike up a conversation with a person, because I had them captive, because they wanted to check out too. And I struck up a conversation with the person next to me in line. You know, and before you know it, I was not preaching. I was sharing the gospel with these people. There are a couple of them. And they didn't come to believe in Christ. But God gives us opportunities when we're least expecting it. And he surprises us all the time. We need to be open to his Spirit. And the opportunities will usually come to us as we go out and about into our communities. And then, you know what? We're going to plant seeds all the time of the gospel. When you present the gospel to someone, you're going to present the gospel, and you're going to plant a seed in their heart. And many years from now, maybe that person will come to know Christ because you were faithful in just presenting them the gospel. Which, when you present the gospel to people, of course, you should expect, they have to admit that they're sinners. And they have to show, they have to have a need to believe in Christ. And then they have to believe in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross, was buried, and then He was raised again. And He died in your place. And then they have to confess their sin and repent. And that's the gospel. It's not overly complicated, but that's the gospel. And that's what we need to do every day, every day. You know, often it begins with us as planting a seed of the gospel in their lives. And I don't know about you. I remember I was an associate pastor at a church in Broomall, Pennsylvania. And one of the things I did was we had a big field in the back. We had a big field down in our property that was all kind of messed up. It needed a clean out. And we had two apartment complexes on the side of us. The church had built the church, and then when it was nothing there, and what did they do? They built two apartment complexes on the side. I said, how can we reach people in these apartment complexes? Hardly any of them came to the church. And so what I did was I made up flyers, and I put them on the doors of there, and I invited their children to come, and we cleared out the field, and we had volleyball. We had a little Bible club. And, you know, God used that, and we saw kids come, and I wasn't sure if they came to know Christ, but they at least heard the gospel. And years later, a person in the church said, well, you know, they were on a bus, and this person came on the bus with them, and they just happened to say, well, I go to this church. I don't know if they were witnessing. I didn't get the whole story. But what happened was it was a kid that we had talked to about the gospel, and he became a Christian. And he was telling that person on the bus that because of that ministry, guess what happened? I became a Christian. And you never know. You never know who you're going to be. You're planting a seed to. And this leads me to the second point. We need to recognize the harvest. Verse 36. Note, when Jesus looked out at the multitudes and the crowds that followed him, he saw them as distressed and dispirited, like a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw them as harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And it's really interesting how he viewed the world. It's a world that is lost. You see, people in the world without Christ is lost and condemned, going to hell. Do you see that? Do you know that truth? There's a real urgency for us to go out and about in the cities and villages, preaching the gospel to the lost. Many of us miss opportunities with our loved ones and those we come in contact with who have died without Christ. We have kept silent of the very gospel that could have saved them. You see, the world through Jesus' eyes was harassed, distressed, dispirited, helpless, faint-hearted, and tired, without peace in their hearts. Jesus saw them as helpless, for no one except Jesus could help them in their lost and sinful condition. And no matter what they try to do to save themselves, either by being good or by good works, they could not be saved. They were totally lost and separated from God. And Jesus saw them as scattered abroad, confused as sheep without a shepherd. They were distracted. They were dejected. They were distracted from all the world's pleasures that do not last forever. They were dejected or depressed, knowing that in their lives, they really didn't matter. They had no meaning or purpose in life. Have you met people like that? That have no meaning or purpose in life? They go to work every day, and they come home, and they go to work, and they come home, never finding satisfaction in the things of this world. And Jesus saw the world in this way. How do we view people around us who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord? Next time, see people with Jesus' eyes. And this will challenge you to present the gospel to them. As you recognize the harvest, as Jesus recognized the harvest as lost and condemned. And then remember If someone didn't tell you about Christ, where would you be today? Where would you be today if not for the grace of God in your life? And we need to thank God every day. And we know that God has entrusted us with the gospel. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, and God can use us. The world is restless and basically without peace. But they can know the Prince of Peace who can save them from their sins, even as Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Third, Jesus not only recognized the lost condition of the harvest or the world, but he recognized the harvest is plentiful. Verse 37. You do not have to look far to find lost people. They are all around you. They're all around you. The harvest, my Christian friends, need immediate attention. There's so much work to do, and we should be out there doing it. You know, God gives us his strength and his power through the Holy Spirit, and we should not be afraid to share the gospel. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." We do not have to fear preaching the gospel. We each have a dark corner of the world. Each of us do. But if you share the gospel in your darkest corner of the world and my darkest corner of the world, before you know it, we start reaching the world with the gospel together. It's not overwhelming if we're all faithful in presenting the gospel with someone. You know, we must see the need for the Church of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to the lost. My fourth point is that we need to recognize that workers are few. The workers are few. It's an enormous task that we have. We need to redeem the time. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus tells us, but the workers are few. Jesus fixes his eyes on the few disciples in the midst of the huge crowds and tells them that those who are called are few in number compared to those who are not called. Many are invited. There's a universal offer to the gospel. We don't know who the elect are, but only a few are chosen. Only a few are chosen. Remember, we are the instruments God uses to bring the elect to himself. God does the saving, not us. But we must be faithful to the Great Commission. Faithful to the Great Commission. My fifth point is that what Jesus tells his disciples to do is to get on your knees and ask or beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest fields. Notice how prayer and evangelism go hand in hand. How many of you have prayed for a lost family member or a friend to be saved? Many of us have. How many of you prayed for a Christian to come in the lives of those people who are lost? You see, the need is great, and the church needs to pray for workers to be sent out to the harvest. Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, and we need to get out there from our churches and be sent out. We need to have outreach. We need to be able to send, and we do in this church. I see it all the time. But even us, we need to go out and about individually. You know, a person once told me that if I start praying for someone to be sent out to the mission field, that person could be me. You don't know. I mean, I'm amazed at the missionaries that go out into Africa and all the different places, and they're called to go, and they sacrifice a lot to go to share that gospel. I'm amazed at what they do on the mission field. And maybe God is calling you to a mission field. I don't know. I don't care how old you are. God can call you whenever he wants to call you to send you out to be used by him in a mighty way. And you don't know. God could be calling you to be going out just up to the local communities. What can you do in a special way to be used by God? I know a lot of ladies get involved in the pro-life movement and are counselors to women that want to have an abortion. They come into a pro-life clinic, and it's amazing the ministry that they have. It's amazing what other things you can think of that you can be involved in. You know, I would never have been a Navy chaplain. Why would I want to leave my family for 6 months at a time? But God called me to do that. You see, God does ask us to go. And there's a cost involved. There's a cost involved when you ask God to be used in the gospel, in the gospel ministry. Any one of us could be called to do that, no matter where you are. And are you that someone? We are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And there's so many different creative ways we can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Last point, promise. I'm even going to be early. My sixth point, I skipped the most important point from our text. We need to display compassion to a lost world. Verse 36. In this point, we see not only how Jesus saw the world with his eyes, but we also see how he acts with his heart. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Verse 36, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Maybe the reason we are not so compelled to preach the gospel to the lost is because we really do not have the same love and compassion that Jesus had for the lost. This is very convicting to me, for I have a tendency, and I'm sure you have a tendency, to get wrapped up in your own lives and forget why we're here on earth as Christians. And that is to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. I forget at times that this earth is not my home. Heaven's my home. I'm born again. I'm born from above. Jesus takes the world's lost condition to heart, and so we must follow his example. He is deeply moved with compassion or sympathy or pity, for they cannot save themselves. Jesus' burden for the lost are we. We read in Mark chapter 8, 1 through 3, that it was compassion for the multitude that Jesus fed the 4,000 people. He looked around, he saw them, he had compassion on them, he saw how hungry they were, and he fed them. We see Jesus crying over Jerusalem, longing to gather Israel like a hen gathers her chicks because they are not willing. When was the last time we actually cried over the lost condition of the world? Or let's get more personal. When's the last time you cried over a family member or a neighbor or a coworker, friend who was not willing to come to Christ because you said the gospel to them and they wouldn't come and believe in Christ? Listen to me. You will never preach the gospel if you do not have Jesus' heart of compassion for the lost. For when people of the world see Christ's compassion in you, think of the witness you will have as you care for them. And I have to say this, the local church is what God uses and is the only hope for the world. And we need this kind of compassion for the lost, and Jesus leads the way. We can only by the Holy Spirit lead the lost to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. We need to be challenged to go out and about in all the cities and all the villages. We need to recognize the harvest, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let us pray for workers to be sent out, and that includes us. And let us display to the world the compassion and love of Jesus Christ, showing the world that we are so different that we attract people all around us to the Savior by our actions and proclamation of the gospel. Begin to ask God in your own personal lives as Christians to bring opportunities for you to share the gospel and with many people, and be open to the Spirit's leading as he brings those who are ready to hear the gospel. Then I want you to do one thing. Think of just one person in your life that does not know Christ by name. I don't want you to say the name. Think of a person in your life. It might be a family member, a friend, a neighbor, whatever. Name that person in your life and ask God to maybe lead you to talk to them about Christ and share that gospel message with them and not give up on them. And you know what? We all have children. We all have people in our lives that we have that they are not Christians, and I will not ever give up on them. I will continue to pray for them. because God can work in their hearts. And how does He do that? He works in our hearts through us, other Christians. And a lot of times it's hard, you know. And maybe today there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And you know that you're lost and restless and without peace. You know you have a restless heart of despair. You sometimes feel scattered and depressed about your life. There's so many people that are committing suicide today, especially veterans. But so many people are committing suicide because they are not believers in Jesus Christ. And even times when we are, you know, we have, it doesn't exclude us from mental illness. But I invite you to come and believe in Jesus Christ right now. You need to repent of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and risen again for you. You need to come into the cross with empty hands, and you need to lay your sinful life at the foot of the cross, believing that Jesus shed His blood for you and that He died in your place to give you forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. And once you make that commitment to Jesus and you believe in Him, go out and share that good news with others. And if you truly want to make a commitment to Christ and believe in Him today, let one of the elders know, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. So I hope spending some time, just, I know I hit it again and again and again, but present the gospel to someone. Someone that you know. Someone that you have a relationship with, or someone that you don't. I mean, the best time to do it is when you're on an airplane, because they're stuck with you. You know, I always said, when I was on the ship in the middle of the ocean, those sailors were stuck with me. You know, you never know. But, you know, there's a lot of humor we can use. There's a lot of things that we can do to share. Just be creative. Just be creative. Let us pray. Heavenly Father,